Let me just take a moment to build off that one announcement that you heard about June 2nd, our worship service at the park. It's true, there is not going to be a church service here on June 2nd. There is only going to be a church service at Claytley. Did I say that right? Claytley, or something like that. Thank you. Thank you so much. At that park in town, we have been finding great joy in planning for that. There's seven churches that are working together and hosting it together, and we are looking forward to worshiping the Lord together. It is a demonstration of unity in Prince George, of the church. It's a demonstration of God's love that we want to share with our city, and we are grateful that we can do this. Other churches would have liked to have joined us, but other scheduling and stuff prevented that, so we'll see what God is doing amongst us in the years to come. And so we're 3 weeks away, and I want to say that now so that we're already thinking and praying and preparing to come. And so be in prayer for that. Well, we're all about Jesus at Westwood Church. Our vision as a church is bringing Jesus into life. We believe that Jesus is God. We've been learning about that as we've been studying 1 John. As we come around the Lord's table, we believe that Jesus did this amazing thing for us in dying for us and forgiving us for our sin, which is why we celebrate communion regularly. We believe that Jesus transforms our lives. He gives us freedom to live. He gives us power to live. He gives us victory. And because of that, we make a big deal about Jesus. We believe that Jesus, because he's God, he actually calls us to follow him, to walk in his footsteps and to go where he invites us to go. And I don't know about you, but following Jesus, which really is an act of surrender and obedience, is not always that easy. Does anyone here think that following Jesus is like just a snap, like a total walk in the park, a piece of cake? Is anyone so brave enough to say that today? I'm not seeing any hands. Yeah, because it isn't easy. It's actually quite challenging to follow Jesus wherever. And I'm not talking about just, you know, maybe South Sudan. I'm talking about all kinds of things in life that God invites us to obey him in. We know this as children. We know this as spouses. We know this as parents, as friends. It is difficult to surrender, to give our lives to another. And so this morning, it gives us a lot of joy and a lot of hope as we spend some time with Keith and Carrie Workington and their kids talking a little bit about what following Jesus looks like for them in their life, in this season of their life. This morning, we invited our elementary kids to join us in the service because we want our elementary kids to hear and to see how God works and what he's doing in this family's life. So Keith and Carrie and kids, come on up and join me here on the platform where we are going to spend the rest of our time talking about how God has been at work, what he's been doing, why he's been doing it, and we'll have a chance to pray with you and to bless you, and so glad that you are, kids, that you guys are brave to do this, because I'm not sure how many kids are actually, you know, like, excited about being on the platform at church. But Nathan, you're pretty comfortable there with your legs crossed and everything. That's good. Excellent. So, we want to take some time to hear what you're doing. So, all that we heard in the announcements was that you're going to South Sudan. Tell us a little bit about the what.
Okay. So at the end of July, our family is going to be boarding several airplanes and with the final goal of arriving in South Sudan. So if you look at the map there, in case you don't know where South Sudan is, it's Africa. It's just beside Kenya, which is maybe a little bit more well known. Actually, Sudan was making the news recently too. But anyways, there it is. And the city that we're going to is called Torit, and it's along the southern part of South Sudan. So you can see that on the right there. So why are we going to South Sudan and what are we going to be doing there? We're actually responding to a need that we saw advertised or expressed on a website where there was several families in Tori looking for help with the education and homeschooling of their kids. So this is part of the team that's there, and there's going to be 15 of them actually, or is it 12? It's 12 in total, and 8 of them, including Justin and Brianne, will be my responsibility to provide education for them as a teacher. That's my job. I'm a high school teacher at PGSS, and so that's my primary role. Carrie's also going to be working in administration and helping them with finance a little bit, and that was our goal. We wanted to find a role where we could serve as a family, the five of us, not just the two of us or just me, but all five of us. And so we decided to go with Africa Inland Mission, and they've got a goal of reaching the unreached peoples in Africa. So there's, in the neighborhood of where we're going, there's 3 unreached people groups: the Lopit, the Larim, the Dadinga, and there's a barely reached, if you could call it that, people group called the Latuko. And when we say unreached people group, we mean they have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't have an established church in their tribe. So that's the focus. And there's 3 families there that are key families in that mission and in that goal. And so we're going there to serve them in whatever way we can. So education, obviously, and is the primary one. And we're also hoping to build intentional relationships with people. We're working very hard at language learning, so we'll have some interaction with a language tutor. We hope to be involved in the local church and sports ministry. And so we'll see where God directs. We also are excited to hopefully get out to some of these villages to see what God is doing there as well.
So most of us probably don't really have a great grasp on South Sudan as a country, the geography, the climate, some of the historical pieces. Yeah. Can you kind of fill us in a little bit about this country?
Sure. It's a smaller African country. It's right on the equator. Just extremely hot, low-lying, and there's 3 million people displaced or in refugee status currently. The country's been fighting since it was formed almost. It was formed in 2011. It's the most recent country in the world, and they're fighting primarily over oil. There's kind of 2 groups fighting over this, and they've been in civil war. So it's quite a dangerous place to be, and we're hoping that God will provide a safety in that.
What's the population?
I think it's
10-12
million people.
Okay, and a lot of rural.
Yes, a lot of rural.
Okay, yeah. So we've heard, you know, you've shared a little bit about what you're doing, a little bit about the country, but like you're a high school teacher at PGSS, and you know, Carrie, you're an accountant by trade. Thankfully, we have you here at Westwood working with us for a while, and then all of a sudden you decide to pull the pins and say we're actually leaving Prince George, we're leaving what's known, we're leaving what's comfortable. Why in the world? Some people are probably saying, "Why in the world would you do that?"
I ask myself sometimes. Fortunately for us with Keith's job, it kind of allows us this opportunity to go for a year. They have a plan where you can leave your job for a year and you're guaranteed your same position and job and all of that when you get back. And kind of the years leading up to it, there's sort of a forced savings plan so you don't have that whole loss of salary all at one time. So 4 years ago, we decided to move ahead with this. So we've known that it's been coming for a long time. We had no idea what it would be. And I mean, we dreamed about traveling, about doing missions thing, about doing a big road trip. I mean, we had lots of ideas, but we early on very intentionally decided to hold it very loosely and just pray that God would show us what it was when it came. And a couple years ago, when I was praying about it, God very clearly showed me that he would show us exactly what we would do, and even if it seemed like a hard option, that it would be something that we would love. So for the last couple years, I've been kind of like, okay, what is it, right? Kind of waiting with anticipation of what that would be. And I guess the why of why we decided to take advantage of this in the first place was to, as a family, to go and see what God is doing somewhere else in the world, to show our kids something other than this North American wealth that we enjoy, to serve together as a family, to be able to model that to with our kids, and also to do it with them, and yeah, to be able to live by faith through the suffering and the joy. And I mean, even as such a long process and financial sacrifice that even other kids have done even over the years, right, have been very good for us as a family and was kind of one of our goals in our parenting. So
what struck me in the first service was this intentionality, this 4 year ago that where this process started to begin. So that's a pretty good chunk of time in terms of when you think about process. There's lots of pieces that go in that process. Tell us a little bit about what that discernment process looked like.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an easy process. I mean, we started out just by sending out a whole bunch of emails, like to organizations that we knew and had heard of, to missionaries that we knew. We just kind of said, look, we're a family of five. We have this time frame of a year. Is there a way that you can see us fitting in and serving in your organization? And so we just kind of waited to hear back. And as a result of that, we got two options that seemed like they were a good fit. The first one was with MB Missions in Thailand. And of course, our church knows Thailand. Like, we're connected to what's going on in Thailand. And John and Bonnie Esau, who we support, were like, yeah, we would love to have you guys come. And the other one was, of course, this option in South Sudan. And so this is actually that made it more difficult because we know and love what God is doing in both places. Like, we're excited for both things, and we have a heart for both. And so we're like, okay, so what does this mean now? We've got two options before us. Making matters even more difficult on a personal level, the five of us were not unified on the whole thing. Like, in terms of personal preference, we were divided. Carrie and Nathan and Brianne are like, Africa sounds so cool. We would love, maybe Africa, right? And Justin and I are like, but how about Thailand? Because that seems like an even better option, right? So this is the way our family was thinking. We were like, well, we can't just, you know, take some people's preference over another. Like, how do we decide this as a family? How do we bring unity to our family in a decision as big as this? So, I mean, obviously, we began praying about this. God, would you direct us to the same thing? Would you show us what it is that we should be doing as a family? And so, I mean, that process involved, you know, prayer, times of discussion, talking as a family. We spent a fair bit of time just bringing, you know, talking with some other people that we respected, asking them to pray for us. Of course, just listening to God as we're reading our Bibles. And slowly, I began to realize and migrate my position and just realize that we thought that maybe the better place for us to serve as a family actually was the South Sudan option. And so I began to move in that direction. And on the flip side, though, Justin was not nearly as easily convinced. And so he was kind of like, my heart is still in Thailand. So that's kind of, I'll leave that to him.
Yeah. So, okay, so now you're four on one side, one on the other. Yeah. Still not coming to consensus. So Justin, you had a bit of a process where God was at work in your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. I really wanted to go to Thailand, as I said, but when I had like a dream, and in that dream, I was like, at somebody's house, and I had to pick a piece of paper from like a draw thing, and on it said Thailand. So I was like, yay, let's go to Thailand. But then the virgin's like, well, you have to pick another one. I don't really know why, but like, yeah, you have to pick another one. So then when on that piece of paper, it said South Sudan, like bold lettering, and felt like that's where God kind of wanted me to go, and wanted me to go, yeah. And it just felt, it was like very vivid, and just like that, just how God wanted it to be. And like, I've never really remembered like a dream before. Like, I was just kind of forget them, because, you know, you just forget your dreams. You don't remember them. They're so weird. And but this one, I just kind of remember, and it just stuck in my head. And yeah. And it was also really hard to tell my parents this dream, because I really wanted to go to Thailand, right? So yeah. But now I'm pretty excited to go to South Sudan, and I feel like that's where God is calling us.
So can you tell a little more about, so how did you tell your parents? Like, because, so you have this dream, and from the Bible, we actually know that God speaks through dreams. He did that in some of the great characters of old, like Joseph. So you have this dream, and now you got to figure out how you're going to tell your mom and dad, because you think that God is speaking to you. What did that look like when you were talking with your mom and dad?
Yeah. So like, one night I was like, well, like, they kept asking me, like, what do you think? And they kept wanting to know my opinion, because, like, I was the only one who really wanted to go to Thailand still. And, like, one time I was like, finally, I said, like, I had a dream, and then I just kind of left and went to my room. And then they just kept asking me about it, and I finally just told them, because it's kind of getting annoying.
So I'm wondering if in that process for you, Justin, that you actually learned to surrender a little bit.
Definitely.
Very cool. Yeah. How many other people have had God speak to them in dreams where you knew that there was something that God was saying to you in that way? Just like raise your hands if you've ever had that. Yeah. So God speaks and moves. Brianne, tell us a little bit about how you're kind of hoping God will work within your life or maybe in the life of your family as you go on this trip.
Well, I hope that God will teach our family lots of things this year. Like, I've never really met someone who's never heard the name of Jesus, and so to be able to tell them about him would be really amazing. I think this will help us learn to share him with other people just here in Canada and realize that it isn't a really amazing gift to know Jesus. And I think we'll definitely be stretched this year, and we'll have to depend on God in ways that we never really have before. And I hope I will learn to love him more and to read his Bible more and help me and my brothers get along better as we work and live in a different place.
Sounds like you got a long list of things that you want to see God working in your life. That's good. So we've heard a little bit about this country, new country, civil war, hot, a lot of rural village type life. What are some of the concerns that you might have, or the hardships maybe that you think you're going to face as a family? You want to start, Brianne?
Sure. Well, one sort of fear I have is living somewhere where there's a different language and not really being able to understand what's going on around me. And I've heard that the church services are really long, and so to have to sit through a long church service and not understand anything could be hard. We are going to be studying the language of Juba Arabic while we are there. And another fear I have is kind of fitting in with the culture. I've never really lived with people that are so different from me. And I don't want to offend them by wearing shorts that don't cover my knees or stuff like that. And this is probably one of the many things that I will learn that offend them that I won't know until I go there.
Thank you. No one at Westwood has ever complained about long church services here, ever, ever. Justin, how about you?
Sure. Some of the kind of concerns I have about going to South Sudan is the extreme heat and, like, the less than ideal food. In South Sudan, in the dry season, it gets to, like, 40 degrees Celsius, which is pretty hot. And in Prince George this week, it was, like, 25, and I was, like, oh, dying from the heat. So, yeah, that's a concern. And also for the food, like, since it's, like, a, like, new developed country, they don't have any, like, packaged food or, like, North American food, like pizza, fast food, you know, that kind of stuff. And they don't have, like kind of electricity stuff, so, like, there won't be any fridge, so you can't have any, like, cold stuff. Keep any stuff cold, yeah, like milk or stuff like that.
Nathan, how about you?
There's a lot of dogs there, and I'm kind of afraid of dogs, and we have to get 3 rabies shots because of the dogs, and there's lots of bugs and mosquitoes there, which I don't really like.
More bugs than Prince George, you think? Yeah? Bigger bugs in South Sudan than in Prince George? We'll find out. We'll find out. How about you, Carrie?
For me, it's definitely just the living conditions of kind of like our home and the things that I take care of, being able to prepare food without a fridge and all the things I'm used to, keeping everybody in fairly clean clothes without washing machines and all of that. So that'll just take some learning and a lot more time, I guess. So.
It's a difficult decision to take your family to a country known for its violence and crimes against women and children. And there's a refugee crisis of 3 million people in this country. And so there's large refugee camps. Just where it is, there's just so much disease and spread of disease. And so, I mean, these are all major concerns that weigh on me as a father and a husband. And so, in my honest conversations with God, I would be like, God, is there another country that you might also want us to go to? Because Thailand still seems okay. And but in response, I feel like I was reading in my devotions one day, and I came across Psalm 91, and it's become very precious to me. And I don't often feel like, you know, God gives me, you know, a specific verse or passage, although I love reading God's word. But this time I just felt it was pretty unmistakable. I mean, the exact concerns that I just mentioned were just so well addressed in this psalm, and it was just expressed that, you know, God will take care of us amidst the violence and disease and the evil around us. And so I just took hold of this, and it really gave me a sense of peace. And I could lay those things down. And I just felt God saying to me, like, you can focus on those difficult things, you can focus on those hardships, or you can focus on me. And I think God's less concerned about our sense of security and our comfortability as he is about our dependence on him and our willingness to trust. And so we will walk in trust. Our family, we're going to trust God this year. And so one of the cool things, just to finish off that Psalm 91 bit, I remember thinking, oh, this is just, it's kind of really fits the situation for me, but there was one more piece, and it talked about snakes and lions and how God would protect us from those. And I thought, there is nothing more African than a lion. I've seen The Lion King. I know. I know that if it mentions lions, this is for me and for our family. And so this has been a really precious portion of scripture to us, and I'm just so thankful that God's going to be with us in this coming year.
So Westwood Church has been your church home family for years and years, and we want to support you and walk with you on this this journey together. What are some of the practical ways that we can support you?
You can pray for us. The more people praying, the better. I think we are going to need it. There is also a picture of our family in the back to help you remember us.
Okay. So we'll be in the back there. We have a picture. Someone had said after the first service, like, oh, I'll put it on my fridge. I'm like, yeah, and when you open your fridge, you can think of us when we don't have one. but we have a newsletter there with a bit more info, and you can sign up with your email if you want to kind of get updates so you can pray more specifically of what is going on. And yeah, we'd love encouragement, an email back just saying that you're praying for us, that kind of thing, I think makes feel supportive.
Yeah. And maybe just to kind of conclude our time, in terms of time frame, when are you heading out, and then when do you anticipate coming back?
Yeah, we're going to leave Prince George on July 23rd, and we'll come back. We don't know exactly when we're coming back. Sometime in June, we can't book our tickets yet.
Right. Okay, so about 11 months or so.
Yeah.
So, okay. We want to pray with you and for you and bless you as you obey God in this. And you've been a part of an amazing life group. You've been a part of an amazing group of Discipleship Essentials with your leaders and other peers. And so some of them have said yes, they want to pray with you and for you. And so we want to invite those folks up, Phil and Arlene. Would you come on up? And Ron and Arlene, would you come on up? And also, if you've been a part of their life group or have been good friends with these folks and you'd like to join them as a demonstration of your support and prayer, come on up now as well, and let's gather around them and pray God's blessing on them. So just make your way up here where we have some room to gather around, and we will pass the mic around, and as you feel called and led to pray, we would like to do that. So let's gather around. Let's lay hands on this family. As people are, come on up. We want you to know that you are well supported. All right. Phil, I'm going to ask you to begin us this morning.
Dear Lord, we come together as a congregation, and we thank you for this family, Keith, Carrie, Justin, Brianne, and Nathan, for this big step of faith that they are taking together. And we know that you are going to be with them each step of the way. Your word says, fear not. We pray that into each of the things that are on each of their minds. And Lord, we add some blessings from your word. I think of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Then from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify each of you through and through. May your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls each of you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you. We know that you are good. You have said that you are our shepherd, and we will lack nothing. You make us lie down in green pastures. And we know that that's true, not just in Canada, but it can be true in South Sudan, in whatever situations we find ourselves in, the situation that Keith and Carrie and Justin and Brianne and Nathan are going into. And so I pray that they would be filled with your presence, with your protection, with your spirit as they serve, that you would give them wisdom to do it well so that your name is honored. And I pray that they would be able to build relationships with the families there to be an encouragement to them, and that they too would be encouraged, and that they would grow in their faith and their love for you, especially for Justin and Brianne and Nathan, that they would be able to trust you, even when things aren't easy, that they would be able to look to you and see you at work in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for the way that you have already led them and pray that you would continue to lead them. And as we pray for them, we rejoice in what you will do, and we look forward to what you are going to do in their lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Lord, we love this family. We are so thankful for them. God, we thank you that as we prayed for unity for them, that you drew them into consensus. Lord, we thank you so much for the specific way in which you spoke to Justin, that he knows you as a God who speaks to him now. Lord, I pray your spirit over them powerfully, in and through them as they prepare and go. Lord, would you move ahead of them and just continue to prepare that path. Lord, we thank you so much for those verses in Psalm 91 that they can cling to, go back to, and just remember this was your call in those hard times. Lord, I pray for Keith as a father and the concerns and the responsibility he feels as the role of husband and dad. And I pray that more and more through this year he would learn, you're such a perfect father. You will equip him for every task. You will take care of every concern. For Carrie, Lord, we ask that her mother heart concerns, Lord, that you would go ahead of her. You would prepare her. You would be so close to her. And that you would meet every need as she seeks to emotionally meet the needs of her family and the care and the everyday tasks. Lord, be so with her every moment of every day. Make her aware. And Lord, we think of Justin and Brianne and Nathan and ask that through this year they would know you more, that they would see you move in powerful ways in their own lives and in the lives of others, that they would come home just so spiritually formed by you this year that they would have new eyes to see Prince George. Lord, we thank you in advance for all the good you will do. And we praise your name because you are faithful.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful that you've called these precious ones into your service. And we are all called into your service, and we thank you for that. And Father, help us at home to not drop the ball in any way in praying for them and sustaining them and honoring you in everything that they think they do. And I thank you for that. Father, just bless them, protect them, guard them, and keep them safe in you in everything that they think and say and do. And I thank you for that, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
So, Lord, as we send this family, we are also asking that you would just daily soften each one of our hearts, that we would walk with you and follow you wherever you call us. It might be across the street, might be down the road, might be to a family member, to a friend. Lord, may we have hearts that are attuned to you, that we would walk in obedience and full surrender. And we thank you that you love us and you're doing great things in your people and through this church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people together said, amen. Amen. I encourage you to take some time after this service to chat with the family. They'll be in the lobby, and encourage them and pray for them. Thank you. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord.